Greetings, Scotch Potatoes, across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Nick Arum. And you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Didn't we go over this before the show, Nick? That was your one line, your one big line.
I didn't want to tell you, but I actually can't read.
You can't read? That's why you watch movies.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
I don't do books.
Yeah, we've got the Fat Guys at the Movie Show. We've got Nick Arum in playing guest host this week. And first of all, you know what? Since he's a new guest host, we'll talk to him in a bit here, but let's get through the contact information. If you want to get a hold of us, you can get us at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can search us on iTunes and just search Fat Guys at the Movies or search Fat Guys Network. We'll pop right up. You can go to facebook.com/FGATM and like us, because we're sycophants who want to have people just adore us all the time. Did I even use that properly, sycophants?
I'm not really sure.
Your vocabulary is not. You don't read. What do I know?
I would have to go onto the online thesaurus and look that up, or the dictionary and
the online dictionary. Or you could pull a book off a bookshelf.
Yeah, I don't own any books.
You don't do that.
Pictures, okay. But not reading books.
None of that. You can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, and we do have an email this week, which is we may or may not talk about it because it's more about TV. We might hit on it briefly, but then maybe Meryl Barr and I will talk about it later this week when we do our Idiot Boxers podcast.
I'm obviously not good enough.
Not for you, no. Or you can leave us a voicemail if you want to actually talk as a human being, 740-205-6456. You can reach me on Twitter, twitter.com/KevinCarr. And Nate, or Nick, why did I call you? I just called you Nate. Why the heck did I do that?
You can't see me on the radio shaking my head, but I'm shaking my head right now.
You're shaking your head. Well, my youngest son is called Nick. So when I think of a Nick, that's who I think of. And you're way more bearded than he is.
And beautiful.
I did not say that.
But you looked it.
No, I did not look it.
He did.
He did. Okay. tell us a little bit about yourself, Nick. What you do, where you're from, where people should know you. Dead silence here. You write for?
Oh, I write for a site called Movies Hate You Too. That's hate like I hate you, not hate like I ate you. Okay. And
thank you for clarifying that.
People ask me all the time. I say Movies Hate You Too, and they're like eight, like the number eight.
How? What? That makes no sense. That makes less sense than a movie hating you.
I'm not the most creative person when I'm coming up with a name for a website. And it was my first website.
I'm not saying that Movies Hate You Too. That makes sense, but Movies Ate You Too.
Yeah, I'm not.
Unless the movies ate a Irish band.
Well, I'm sort of a portly fellow, so I don't know if they just assume that I'm eating the movies as well as watching them.
They look at you and say, well, you must be about eating.
Yeah, everything about me is eating, you know, just by my physical appearance.
And we come all full circle because you're on a show called Fat Guys in the Movies.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Well, we're both fat, and we're both guys.
I consider myself portly.
Well, okay, but portly guys at the movies just does not roll off the tongue.
It sounds a little bit more effeminate and, you know, dainty.
I don't know if portly sounds feminine or dainty. Who are you talking to?
When I hear dainty, I'm thinking sort of, you know.
when I hear dainty, I think of portly. You do need to go buy a thesaurus. I think you do.
Well, what I meant to say was when I hear portly, I think dainty. And okay. When I think dainty, I think la-la.
La-la. Okay. But anyways, tell us a little bit about your site, and you also write for
Columbus Underground.
Columbus Underground. Okay.
Which is based out of Columbus, of course, Ohio.
Makes sense.
And Movies Hate You Too. I write movie reviews, try and get one or two done a week, and they're usually somewhat sarcastic, hateful reviews, since very little that comes out I actually seem to enjoy. Unfortunately,
that's good to know that your cynicism has just completely consumed you at this age.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of sad. You know, I guess they all can't be winners.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But is it movies, because your Twitter name is Movies Hate You with the letter U?
Yeah, Twitter unfortunately only allows you a certain amount of characters, so I had to shorten it up a little bit.
Why didn't you do Hate You Number Two?
I don't know. I just
thought it maybe like U2, the Irish.
Oh, I thought it also might. Yeah, that, and I thought it might look like a sequel.
Okay. to the well-known
The Other Movies Hate You one.
Like Bleep My Dad Says Two. So okay, well, you know, you can go to that. Is it movieshateyou2.com?
.com, yeah.
And that's all spelled out Y-O-U.
Yep.
Okay. So check that out for Nick. He's here to talk a little bit about movies. We're getting a bunch of stuff. We're going to talk a little bit about Oscars. We're going to talk about Dr. Seuss. We're going to talk about J.J. Abrams if we get to our voicemail or our listener email. But first, let's, as I mentioned, Dr. Seuss, let's talk about The Lorax. This is the new movie that is the CGI version of Dr. Seuss's classic story about a strange little creature who speaks for the trees.
You want to know what happened to the trees? But I didn't think anyone still cared.
Well, that's me, the guy who still cares.
It all started a long time ago when I accidentally summoned a mystical creature as old as time itself, the Lorax.
Hey, did you chop down this tree?
You need to change the way things are.
I won't let you down.
Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not.
Now, did you ever read the Lorax book? Are you familiar at all with it?
I don't remember anything about it if I read it at all.
No, okay. Well, you were, I mean, because you're younger than I am. You're about, I think, about 10 years younger than I am. I was, I am as old as the Lorax is, actually. The book was published in, I believe, 1971, which is when I was born. And so I grew up with the Lorax, and I grew up with Dr. Seuss. He was very big in the 70s, not as much in the 80s. He kind of slowed down, but I mean, big in the 60s and 70s, and had a chance to check this out. I didn't realize this. There's only been 4 feature-length Dr. Seuss movies, and that includes the Grinch was the very first one. Then they did The Cat in the Hat. Then they did Horton Hears a Who, which was done by a different studio. The other two were done by Universal, and then The Lorax, which is also Universal. While I thought Horton Hears a Who was really charming and just a sweet movie and very well made, the Lorax suffers from some of the same problems that Cat in the Hat and the live action The Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, in the sense that they're picture books. You know, they're, you can read them in 10 minutes. These books are not in depth or long, so they have to pad them out so they can make this 85-90 minute running time. And it's in these parts where they pad it out that it just, you're like, well, I can see where that wasn't part of the classic story.
Now, does it run into the same problems? Like, does having it be CGI make it better than having Jim Carrey in a suit? Or,
I mean, if you look at like Jim Carrey in the Grinch suit or Mike Myers in the Cat in the Hat suit, those are absolute just abominations, in my opinion. I think they look so creepy.
Now, what if Danny DeVito was in some type of suit with some type of awesome mustache chasing after the live-action children?
Well, that would be the thing. It's the stuff of nightmares. But the fact that they do, I think it works. CGI, I think Dr. Seuss works really well as a CGI in the CGI world. I think it can emulate that weird Seussical quality to the animation. So I think it looks good. And it does follow the story relatively well, but they add all this other stuff to it, which tends to drag it down a little bit. You know, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about The Lorax. And welcome back to Fat Guys in the Movies. We were talking a little bit about The Lorax, and I want to say a couple more things about it. One of the things that's interesting, it's already getting complaints before it even released, from some groups saying, oh, it's got this, you know, overly environmental message, and you know, that's you know what? Yes, it does. And here's why. Because that's what the book's about. and to take out the green message that's in the book would be incredibly intellectually dishonest, because that is what the book's about. Dr. Seuss has always been a writer who, he a lot of times had, you know, social messages and discussions and points to be made that he veiled around these weird sort of worlds. And I mean, The Lorax, yes, if you read the book, which I went and I got the book because I wanted to compare it. I hadn't read the book in 25 years or something like that. So I wanted to compare it and see how it was. And I mean, that message is there. It's right there. So to remove that message would not make it The Lorax. And
do you think that the complaints about the environmental message are just sort of the times we're in, since they also complained about the environmental message and like the Muppets as well? And
well, I think it's getting a little more play because people can pull out YouTube clips and link to it a lot easier than they used to. But you know, look, you know, people, there was a political message back in the 70s when this book was published. So
really, the 70s were,
yeah, just a little bit political.
Were they political then too?
There's a little bit of politics in the 70s.
So it's not just like a new, like we're in a political season now that we were never in before.
I mean, I think there's more voices out there just because you got more outlets. But and yes, there's ironically, though, you have The Lorax doing ads for, was it, I think, like Honda or Toyota or something like that. And
plus telling people to shut up at AMC movie theaters across the nation.
Yeah, exactly. So that's there. And if you don't want your kids to be faced with a green message, then don't take them to see The Lorax, because it's there.
Or just get a life and just remember that they might not even pick up big time on that environmental message.
Well, you know,
they just might take it as the entertainment that it's intended for.
Yeah, well, and it's meant to be a cautionary tale. And it's not, even if you read the book is not never chop down a tree. Although that does kind of come across that, because it's told in a exaggerated view. It's more about just, you know, having a certain sort of awareness for the environments, and don't, you know, if you're using trees as a resource, which they do to build these sneeds, these wonderful cloaks that everyone wears, if you have a resource, don't deplete the resource, you know, especially if it's a renewable one like trees. So I mean, you can draw a much more let's just say level-headed and moderate message out of it than just some wacky, crazy Earth First message. So yes, it's there, you know, but of course it's there. It's that's what the book was. It just as much as the Grinch has a don't get too wrapped up in commercialism during the holidays message.
And that message has been well received, judging by how our society acts at Christmas time.
judging by how well the movie did, how much money it made for commercial success. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, but my problems with The Lorax is because of the book, The Lorax, it's just all about this kid going to talk to this onceler, and then he tells the story of The Lorax. Whereas the movie has the kid, it tells the whole backstory, and has this, the town he lives in, and you've got the bad guy, you know, sort of like that evil corporate type who's selling air, he's selling fresh air, and so they really overplay it a little bit too much, and that's what you get when you get picture books that are, you know, 150 words of a book, and you distill it into, and you chunk it into this giant 100-page script. So it's cute, it's fun, the kids will like it. Well, you know what I'm waiting for, though, and this is my charge to our listeners. I want somebody to get clips of The Lorax, and then get audio of Danny DeVito from the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia show, and just loop it over The Lorax talking, so you can get the picture of The Lorax doing stuff, and then have him be like, I need to go gamble, and you know, I can't say it because I'm on the radio in this segment, the famous Danny DeVito lines.
Yeah, I was going to wonder about any type of, you know, women of the night.
Yes, there's other words that he uses for that.
Yeah, I'm really not even sure what's allowed on the radio. So
pretty
women,
much
women of
nothing.
The night is where we're going to leave it.
Ladies of the evening.
Yes.
Painted women.
Painted how?
Well, face, I guess. We better get out of this discussion.
Yeah, it's going downhill real fast.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the cusp because I don't want to give it a kind of sucks because it's still a fun, cute little kids movie. So I'm going to give it a kind of rocks, but it's right there on the cusp, and not for a political reason, but more for the fact that it just felt very padded.
The kids are going to like it, but are the parents going to sort of roll their eyes and want to take a nap, or are they going to be able to get behind this?
Let's just put it this way. It's the second best Dr. Seuss movie that's been made into a feature-length film, because Cat in the Hat and The Grinch were terrible. So, but it's not as good as Horton Hears a Who. That one's a very charming, cute, soft, lovable, fun movie.
Well, it does have, you know, lovely elephants and
has an elephant and an evil kangaroo.
I'm going to admit this. I haven't seen it.
Get off the show.
Dr. Seuss is not one of my things. When you run a site called Movies Hate You Too, you do not fill the site with Dr. Seuss.
Lovable, sweet Dr. Seuss stories.
Yeah, Sunshine and Lollipops is not my forte.
I think you should review Cat in the Hat on your site, because I think it would be very appropriate.
Well, yeah, that might actually work. And
such a bad movie.
But Alec Baldwin sort of creeps me out in that. Just the trailer. Yeah, Alec Baldwin's in that.
Is he in Cat in the Hat?
Yeah.
What does he play?
I don't know, the creepy neighbor guy?
The creepy neighbor? He's the neighbor creeping around the back. Hey, what's up?
You know, I don't know the whole thing, but I feel like it came out when he called his daughter, like near when he called his daughter a pig or whatever. I feel like it sort of like was near that time period.
Are you sure you just didn't mesh those together in your mind?
No, I don't really see how I would have connected those two.
Wow. Sorry about that. There was a commotion outside the magical studio in the sky, and I think it was just wind that was knocking over wind chimes. Let's move on. Speaking of things getting knocked over, let's talk about Project X. Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
All right, and in this movie, a teen has a small party when his parents are out of town, and things get out of hand in a big way.
I'm Thomas Cubb. It's my birthday today.
You should definitely swing by. It's on Dickens Street.
That's your party? You guys are throwing that? That's where I'm going. I have to be crazy.
Cool. See you guys tonight, then.
What? Mind your own business, lady.
This is way more than 100 people.
Of course it is. It's plus one.
Hey, would you guys mind maybe getting on my dad's car? It's just he'll go crazy if anything happens to it.
Thomas, I got another call. I'm sure the neighbors are exaggerating.
All right, go. What'd you think of Project X? Remember, we're in the radio segment.
We are on the radio segment.
Clean language only.
Okay.
Can I jump in? Because you sound like you're pulling your thoughts together here.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
I do not want to stoop to hyperbole. But let's just say that Project X is quite possibly the worst movie ever made in the entire history of cinema, and most likely will not be outdone with a worse movie from now until the end of time.
I don't necessarily think it was that bad. It's bad.
Like it's, worst movie ever.
No, because I saw Jack and Jill last year. I can't put it...
Jack and Jill's not good.
Yeah, Jack and Jill's...
It's better than Project X.
Like, Jack and Jill's like a train wreck, but Project X is like a train wreck full of kids. You know, it's...
You know what? Here's the thing. This is how I would describe Jack and Jill having this just sliver modicum of value more than Project X. I think, and you know, in 1,000 years, historians can go back and they can open up the vault and they can look at Jack and Jill, and they would be fascinated by this movie as to what happened with Al Pacino and where did Johnny Depp come from. But
that's why I'm saying it's so much worse than Project X, is because...
But at least it's fascinating for later generations to study. They'd look at Project X and be like, this is just somebody's crappy home movie.
But unfortunately, it's going to be... Jack and Jill will be remembered for being how bad it is. In a year or 2 years from now, no one's going to remember Project X. It's that forgettably bad...
Unless it makes tons of money this weekend.
Well, then we're going to be watching Project X Squared in 9 months
from now.
That's
what it's going to be called. It's going to be Project X Squared.
Can I copyright that now?
Yes, go ahead. Why don't you give the U.S. Copyright Office a call? And
so it's like X-Men right. 2 almost, except Project X.
Project X 2. No,
and it'll have like a mathematical equation on the poster telling us how much more awesome it is, like divide by pi.
You know what? I will tell you this: the sequel cannot be worse than this movie, because this movie was so bad, worst ever in human history.
And I'll probably feel less creepy watching it because you know of all the nudity involved and supposedly high school kids.
Yeah.
And are we able to talk about this on the radio?
We got about 30 seconds, but you're right. You know, they have the whole when the party starts and all the high school girls start showing up.
I think the term is kicks off.
Kicks off. Yeah. When it starts bumping and all the high school girls show up and you're like, oh, look at a bunch of 20 something girls that are supposed to be in high school.
And then plus like the college freshman kids that are supposedly hanging out with them that are like college age too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got to go to a break. When we come back in the internet only segment, we will dump a little bit more on Project X.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck. 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are in our infamous middle segment, our third segment where we can swear. You can swear now, Nick.
Okay. Do you want me to swear now?
I usually let the guest have an opportunity to throw down a couple. They could be like, pussy fart or something like that. And
can I just say twat?
Sure.
Okay. I really like twat, so I'm going to throw that out.
I like twat, too. I'm a big fan of vaginas. Well, yeah, in all forms. Well, not all forms.
Yeah.
80-year-old vaginas that need douching.
Or if it's like the ones that are like pumped up with like a pussy pump type thing.
like the porno movies, you know, Honey, I Blew Up the Pussy.
Yeah, sort of like that.
That is actually a name.
If it looks like it's going to eat me, then I don't want to eat it.
It's got teeth.
Yeah.
It's got teeth and a bib and a fork and knife and somewhere these that are just kind of floating around the giant vaginal opening crevasse.
Have you seen a vagina? Because you're describing something I'm not even sure it's...
You're the one who said it was going to eat you. I've seen plenty of vaginas. I'm not like a gynecologist, but I mean, I've seen my fair share of vaginas. So I have not seen any of them that are ready to eat somebody.
Okay, well, you obviously haven't seen one pumped up as much as I have.
I think you're like, well, obviously you haven't seen the monster vagina. With
yeah,
the big
obviously,
lips.
Pussy pumping is not one of your big things. But
I'm not. Now I'm going to share a little more than I should. I once, just out of raw curiosity, I got one. I rented one of those movies back when you did rent movies like that from an adult place. Because I would just, I'm like, what the hell is this? Just wanted to see what this is. Sort of like if you see, there was once I saw one, I didn't rent it, but I saw that it was like a meat fetish video.
Ew.
Like women who wear meat, like a, it was before
like
Lady
a
Gaga.
Meat-kini or?
Well, I mean, they had meat on them and I didn't, or like weird stuff. And every now and then it's just kind of like, it's a fascinating thing of like, this is a very John Waters-esque kind of...
Yeah, this took a really dark, creepy...
We went to the internet-only segment, and we hit it hard.
Yeah, like, the internet's recoiling, and...
We don't fuck around here.
Yeah, because...
But yeah, I watched one of those Blow Up the Pussy movies, and it's disturbing, because it literally looks like somebody's been punched in the mouth and got their but on their laying on their side with the rest of their face.
Yeah, like instead of just like one section of your lip, like your lip on your face being blown up, it's just like both lips but no teeth. So it's like a gummy mouth.
It looks like Audrey 2 from Little Shop of Horrors is ready to kiss you.
Yeah.
All red and...
Except more of a...
I don't get a planty smell,
but more of a...
Well, it was a video, so it wasn't scratch and sniff.
Well, I try and create some type of smell to go along with any video I watch.
If it was scratch and sniff, I don't know if I'd really, I really don't know if I'd want to scratch and sniff something that's been rented by other people. Maybe you were the first one. I would handle video, because the thing is, like, if I ever got a, this is back in my day when I would just, you know, out of scientific curiosity get these. Even just handling the disc, I was always just like, because here's the thing. This was my thought. I'd be like, well, somebody would watch it, and then they just go and take it out. I mean, like, how do you know they cleaned
up?
Yeah,
you know you got spank fingers.
Did they actually use Purell?
No, I'm pretty sure they were probably using something called, like, gun oil. And
but you say this like you know, like, a gun oil. I got three of them at home. I got a gun oil rack in my car in case I have an emergency wank job I need to take care of.
Well, there are certain times when a man has needs, I hear.
Sure. Wow. I have to give you credit, because I don't think that this third segment has spiraled this fast.
Yeah, we
into
were talking
just
about project-
pure obscenity. And we started with it was hysterical. We started talking about Project X, which is a shit fest of a movie and have no redeeming value. And we just said, no.
We just wrote the script for Project X 2 right here. Pussy pumping.
Blow up the pussy.
Project X 2, electric
with
boogaloo.
Your meat oil gun that you were talking about.
You were talking about, I wasn't talking about meat. I was going to probably segue that into like some weird milk, sour cream, cottage
This was
cheese.
Way before Lady Gaga wore a meat dress.
And the fact that you even know she did, I don't even know anything about a
How
meat dress.
How could you not know about the meat dress?
Because I don't live in a world filled with Lady Gaga. I avoid... Unless one of her best songs come on and I'm like totally dancing,
pretty much
I avoid her completely.
Pretty much pop culture is filled with Lady Gaga the way a turkey is filled with stuffing, or a Twinkie is filled with cream.
And now we're back to Cream.
Right back to Cream. Jesus Anyways, Christ. Do you want to... You talk... I could tell you were restrained in the last segment about Project X. So, swear away.
Well, now you put twats me on the spot all over the place. And I don't even know
it
where
was
to
you.
Begin.
You were talking about twats. That was your problem.
Dude, we've gone from like 8 different segues to back to Project X, and now I'm completely...
But it's always about twats.
...befuddled about where I'm supposed to go with this.
Well, tell me what you thought of Project X and the twats.
It was an abortion on screen.
They had pretty much everything but that.
Yeah, it was like 2 coat hangers in there just ripping everything apart. Wow. It was bad.
Wow.
Bad.
You're going
bad.
For the Santorum vote on this one, aren't you?
We are right-winging Project X. It was bad. Okay. There's just no other way around it. It was if Can't Hardly Wait, you know, just went off the rails and just completely... Just stayed at the party, and there was no other emotional involvement, you know, and no plot. Just stayed at the party and watched Seth Green. You know, I got to have sex tonight all the way through.
That's all it was. And that's the thing. I remember as we left, I remember we were talking about the fact that, yeah, it's that one scene in the movie, of any movie that you've seen, like American Pie, when they go to the big party. And that's it. There's no other rest of the movie. It's just the party scene.
Yeah, and the only other real part of the movie is, you know, if there is something outside of the party, is setting up the party.
Yeah.
And the obligatory, like, let's go on like a little side mission to tie into the end.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's there is no plot. It is just, you're right, just a setup for the party. They go to school. They invite people to party. They go buy drugs so they can go to the party, and they are getting ready for the party so they can have the party. And then they have the party, and the party gets out of hand. And it's, first of all, it's also found footage, which fuck that absolute total shit of a genre. I'm so tired of found footage. We are in the beginning. Just the tip, just the foreskin of March we're in, and this is already our third major found footage movie in 2012.
And we're not even, it is being released, what's the release date exactly? Is it March?
March 2nd.
So, okay, I guess it barely makes it into March. We saw it in February.
Yeah.
But February's, you know, only 29 days this year, so we're literally...
We're February 31 days, it would be released in February.
Yeah, you're right.
now we're changing the calendar to justify our points here.
But we're like 62 days into the year, and we've had 3 movies. So we're averaging almost every 3 weeks we have a found footage movie, which makes me want to cry on the inside.
Yeah,
it is that bad.
And I had Meryl Barr tweeted to me after I was ranting about it on Twitter. He says, is it worse than Chronicle? Because I hated Chronicle. For those who don't remember, I absolutely hated Chronicle. And I know a lot of people liked it.
And those people are, I want to say, retarded.
Oh my gosh, just insult everybody.
But you might be retarded.
Okay.
I'm really sorry. I don't like really nitpicking people's ideas on movies.
Sorry, I don't mean to offend retarded people.
But I'm sorry, that was a piece of shit too.
Yeah.
And it was...
But here's the thing. The Project X is Chronicle without the superpowers.
And the entire movie, we're sort of sitting there and we're going,
you know, when they go,
this would be totally awesome if right now that kid just totally flipped out and had telekinesis and killed all of his friends.
Yeah, I kept expecting, because of course it was all like this secret project for a while, and originally was called Project X just because they didn't want to put a name to it. It was like the Blue Harvest name for Project X, and they just kept the title. So like it'd be like if Return of the Jedi was Blue Harvest. but I kept waiting to see if like something else would happen, like if the Cloverfield monster would show up, you know, or if you know, just something crazy. No, and I, there was at a point I lean over, because we saw it together, I lean over to you and I go, about the main character, I go, I hope he kills himself. I really hope he kills himself. Part of the problem with this movie is it is an absolute total masturbatory effort made for high school kids who think they're way cooler than they really are. It's for high school kids who like think they've been to big parties, but really haven't. And the second the cops come, they fucking scatter to the four corners of the earth. But then they can go see this movie and be like, that's just like the party that I went to because, well, they had music and I was there, but we didn't like set the house on fire. We didn't do this. But yeah, but it was awesome.
And none of the girls there were probably as acne free or as naked as the girls in this movie.
It was a freaking beer commercial when the girls show up. And I'm like, I remember when I was in high school, I've been to parties in high school and college. And let's just say I don't care what city you're in. It's Pasadena, but I don't care what city you're in. There's a range of looking people. All the guys, there are good looking guys and total freaking dork heads. Yet there are all the girls at this ridiculous height. It looked like a Michael Bay movie.
Yeah, and it really, and there's a surprising amount of hipsters. And I don't know if hipsters would be at that party.
Yeah, it's not a hipster party.
There are a lot of girls in like Urkel glasses, yeah, taking their tops off. And I'm all about girls taking their tops off, trust me. But, you know, want to punch the girls in the face too.
It was just absolute ridiculous fantasy. And I know that's what movies are, but and I'm sure that the people making it were like, oh, we'll just make it kind of silly and crazy. Like, but the idiot audience is like, yes, this is awesome. This is what it means to be in high school. And it's like, no, it's not. It just the characters are insipid, and then they try and make it realistic. They try and put in this really god awfully stupid love story because it's the dorkiest kid in school, and he's with the most gorgeous girl in school, just adorable blonde who's we've been friends forever, and they really have a thing for each other. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's not how it works.
I was actually sort of expecting her to come out with like the, you know, oh, you're actually into me, you're straight. I was expecting there to be like the obligatory gay joke, like, oh, thought you were gay.
They had tons of gay
jokes. Oh, there were tons of other gay jokes. Don't get me wrong.
There's one kid who's a fat kid who's like, they look like they went back in time and got Josh, Josh Gad? Isn't that his name? He's an actor. He was in 21 and stuff like that. And they plucked a younger version of him and they put him, and they're just constantly making fat jokes about him being fat. And I'm like, okay, I get it. He's fat and you make fun of him. Shut up. Jeez. And there's the other thing. They have this dog in this movie and everyone's like, oh, isn't it funny what they're doing to a dog? And I'm like, yeah, but isn't this basically animal cruelty?
Yeah, like when you're painting it
and putting it in a drawer.
And trying to sail it away. Like
Tying it to balloons. And everyone's like, oh, isn't that cool? And the girl's like, let me take a picture. I'm like, all insipid, horrible, asshole people. I thought all the characters in Chronicle were assholes. These people are assholes that could swallow up the entirety of Chronicle and poop it out. Just each character could do that.
And they're all, start doing all these different crimes, but their first inclination is to, let's completely videotape everything we're doing.
Everyone's videotaping.
Yeah, everyone's videotaping, and somehow everyone's videotaped. They're getting them all together, including news footage, cop car footage, you know, the 12-year-old security guards. That's right, 12-year-old security guards.
Psychopaths who
also have flip cams.
Are supposed to be funny.
Oh, yeah, and one of them looks...
One of them literally talks about burning down a house with a baby in it. As if it's like, oh, so... And then it's like, oh... Then the one guy's like, oh, you really don't want to do that. Then there's a little bit of a spoiler, I'm sorry. But he's like, oh, maybe you shouldn't do that. And then he walks away, and I'm like... No one's horrified by that actual. They're just like, oh, maybe, yeah. It's sort of like somebody going, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to skip class today. And like, yeah, you might want to do that. There's a quiz.
Yeah, like, well, I warned him not to burn it down, so I'm totally off the hook if he does.
Yeah,
and maybe I'll applaud if he does. Yeah, but you know.
Well, part of the problem is it's fine if it was a fantasy, but then they try to ground it at times with this stupid romance. I kept wanting her because I'm going to spoil some things, people. So
let's be honest, though, there's really nothing to spoil in this movie. There really isn't.
You've either seen everything in the trailer, or you know it's coming,
because it really is. There's nothing like. There's a cute girl that he's going to possibly get with that he's been friends with forever. Then there's the even hotter, like, black-haired girl that you figure has been fucked more times than she's had hot meals.
Well, and the other thing, and then she, like, throws herself at him, and I'm like, no, that wouldn't happen. There's not enough alcohol in the world to make the hottest girl in school try and have sex with the dork. I'm sorry.
But at least...
I was a dork in high school. I never had that happen to me.
Well... Let's be honest. At least she didn't like do it with like the fat kid that they later alluded was possibly retarded, or the really really stereotypical Jewish New York guy who's a loudmouth who you really really want to punch in the face.
Yeah.
Well, within the first 2 minutes of the movie,
I so wanted the point because he bangs a girl he likes, And I kept wanting her to finally, because she wants to get back at him, I kept wanting her to come up to me like, I have AIDS. Like, what? That would have been a good ending. There's so many ways I could have had that, you know, but it's just, otherwise, it's just such a terrible film. And they, like, they try to explain things. They one guy in the neighborhood calls the cops. Not anybody else calls it. And the cops just kind of come and they're with a flashlight. I've been, like I said, I've been to parties when I was a kid in high school where there's drinking. I didn't party a lot, but I'd been to parties. When the cops show up, everyone's gone. It's like cockroaches when the lights come on.
And it's not like they're talking, we're talking about like some neighborhood in South Central where there's like gunshots. This is like a very nice neighborhood with like rich people, mm-hmm. and there's 300 kids, and there's it is, all sorts of commotion, and no one's calling the cops. Yeah. And then the cops that show up are like Barney Fife. Or
the two people that just don't actually, and it's just, there's not one redeeming quality. I did not laugh once. And anything that could have been potentially funny, you've seen in the trailers a million. You know there's a midget in the oven. You know they drive the car into the pool. You know they set the house on fire.
And that dog is in the bounce house.
You know the dog's in the bounce. You know it's humping a basset hound because all that shit's in the trailer. And it's just, and then the whole thing is, there's even, if there's no story there is, there's like less movie. And then they just pad it out with a bunch of dance rave kind of scenes.
Yeah, it's
awful.
Yeah.
It's Chronicle up until the point that they actually find the alien thing.
Now, I will tell you, it has some of the best naked girls in a bounce house footage I have ever seen.
I
have not seen a lot of bounce house booby footage, but it does have some of the best.
Well, with you bringing that up, I do think that we have a due diligence and a duty to society to seek out boobies in bounce houses.
Yeah,
and evaluate whether.
And it also really shows how many kids in the Pasadena area have waterproof cameras to do this wonderful underwater Jacques Cousteau sort of naked girl swimming in the well-lit illuminated pool.
But as much as I like seeing the tits, there was at a certain point, you're just like, there's more nipple. I mean, it's just,
I didn't quite get there to the point where you were. I could have.
Well, it wasn't I was bored with it, but if all I want to do is see poorly lit video of bouncing boobs, I can go to the internet where there's more than just bouncing boobs.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. But since I was already in the movie that I was watching and hating my life for sitting through it, at least they had that to make it somewhat in the smallest way bearable.
I enjoyed watching the tits, sure.
Yeah. And I was actually somewhat disappointed there wasn't like any, not even like a quick vagina. Like I'm sure none of the Pasadena girls are doing like a full bush anymore, but
I hate to tell you, none of those girls in that movie were Pasadena girls.
Oh yeah, but they could have at least like put like a fake vagina wig or something on some girl and flashed it real quick.
Yeah,
for me, just
fake vagina wig.
They should have called like me up Merkin and asked me. Yeah, Merkin. That's what. Thank you, Merkin.
The fact that I know Merkin. You know who I have to thank for knowing what a Merkin
Lucy
is?
Lucy Lawless.
Why does she sell them or something?
No, but she wears one on Spartacus, I guess.
Oh, she did not know that.
From the internet research I've done on Lucy Lawless and her, you know,
what's wrong? Is she like going bald or something?
I don't think it's she's going.
Why doesn't she?
She's
just
going, but she's going like full time, I guess. Not like going bald in the my hair.
I understand why a woman shaves her pubes, but if you're in a TV show, just let the pubes grow.
Especially one where you're, you know, maybe not expected, but very willing show it.
You see like Jeff Bridges in Crazy Heart, he had a real beard. Why can't Lucy Lawless have a real muff down there?
Maybe it has something to do with maybe her boyfriend doesn't like a real muff. Maybe they're trying to supply jobs for people that make Merkins.
Again, I'm going to have to research this closely.
Yes,
get Lucy Lawless on the horn and say, can I see your vagina?
Well, she actually, I think, is in jail right now. So you
for
might
what?
Be. She got arrested for like being on an oil rig.
Oh,
protesting
that's right.
Something.
She was protesting the Lorax.
So possibly she could be in like jail now. So you might be able to contact somebody because
probably
has to do like that.
There's probably some razor burn going on there.
It's like some coughing going on to make sure she's not sneaking anything into the joint.
Sit there, yeah. You know, put it up to your elbow. See, wait, hold on a second. It'd be like, you ever watch the Globetrotters, the Super Globetrotters cartoon?
Does it involve fisting? Because I feel like that's where this is going.
Well, no.
And nothing in the Globetrotters I've ever seen has involved fisting.
The Super Globetrotters cartoon had all the classic Globetrotters, like Curly Neal and that's the only one I know.
God, the fact that you know that they're know the Globetrotters name and consider them classic.
Well, because that's what they were in the 70s. And so, like, in like Curly, because he's bald, he'd like turn into a giant. They go Super Globetrotter. He turned into this giant basketball, and so he'd bounce around. And everybody had some superpower. And one of the guys, I don't know who he was, but it was the 70s. So he had his giant afro, and it was like a TARDIS purse from Harry Potter, where he could reach into his. I just like referenced like six things all there. One sentence. He could reach into his afro and pull out anything.
Yeah. Did you combine Doctor Who and Harry Potter?
Well, it's retarded.
And like an afro and the Globetrotters.
Hermione had a purse that she put a spell that was bigger on the inside.
Yeah, she could.
It was the TARDIS purse.
I don't want to make myself sound like a dork, but I actually probably know what that's called.
Too late. What's it called?
I'm just going to let it go.
Oh, you're going to let it go? My wife has the Harry Potter book somewhere up here. So, in the magical studio in the sky. Anyways, yeah, so we got way off track once again, talking about vaginas and merkins. But yeah, I mean, okay, I wasn't upset at seeing titties, but
it didn't offset anything else we saw.
You got to give me more than just titties if you're going to watch me to enjoy a movie.
Yeah, I can get titties just about anywhere, you know.
Well, I don't think I can get them just about anywhere. I can't go down to Kroger and get
driving
titties.
To the great studio in the sky. We passed Cahoots. We could have seen them there.
We still have time to go to Cahoots.
Do we? Do they still have like the glass bottom floor so you can actually look? I haven't actually been there before.
They're a pasty club now.
Are they a pasty
club?
That I've heard.
Coming
soon.
From the grapevine.
Coming soon, Fat Guys at the Movies from Cahoots.
They're expensive.
There won't be much talking.
If we could get sponsored, that would be so awesome. We could have like the Cahoots girls come on the... But you just hear them. There's nothing special about that. I mean, maybe I can post a
What's
opinion.
Your opinion on film?
Do you think of the Lorax?
This one guy asked me to star in one in his hotel room across the street.
Speaking of Lorax, we can now talk about. By the way, can we just say that that Project X sucks?
Yeah, don't watch Project X. I really suggest if you need to, see boobies, you can see them on the internet.
Mm. This is a good place.
Or Girls Gone Wild, because it's essentially, really, honestly, the same girls are probably in Girls Gone Wild, have traveled over to the project.
Pretty much. But no, the thing with the Lorax is, I so want to see clips of the Lorax where the Lorax says, "I am the Lorax, and I like banging whores."
Or say something about, "This is my magnum condom, or my monster condom for my... my giant dong."
Yeah, I just so want somebody to do an edit on that. It's like I don't have to edit stuff myself because I don't have the ability, but I'm woefully behind technologically. But anytime I have an idea of like, oh, wouldn't it be neat to do this? Like there was that, you know, that song from Saturday Night Live, the Jizz in My Pants song?
Yeah.
If you ever watch Chuck, whenever he flashes, it looks like he jizzes in his pants. And I said that to...
Lovely, NBC, lovely.
I know. Well, he kind of does a... kind of look.
They can't see you.
Well, but I did the noises.
But the facial expression really makes it. you just described a facial expression on the air and then made the facial expression like they could see you. It's like, obviously, you're just even less unfamiliar with radio than I am.
Imagine what my face looks like when I go... Uh-huh. Okay,
so God, I just saw it. I can't unsee it. I think I'd rather see Danny DeVito coming out of that couch ass or just bare ass
naked
from Sunny again than see that face.
But anyway, so I said they should do a jizz in my pants version of Chuck, and guess what? It was already out there. So I totally that's my call to the listeners. People have tech savvy equipment that can pull video trailers of the Lorax saying, "I like day banging whores." So. Anyways, we should probably move on. Let's talk about box office real quick. Act of Valor won the box office. What's funny is, this is what I find interesting about box office reporting, is if you go to, and as much as I think Nikki Fink is a fucking moron, her site has the fastest reporting of box office. They give tracking of box office from.
Well, it's obviously accurate then if it's fast.
Well, but here's the thing, and it's not, because they're like, oh, Friday, it's looking like this, and early projections were like in the lower 30s for Act of Valor, and throughout the weekend as the numbers kept going in, which meant it was a little more front loaded than they expected. And it ended up making just under $25 million, which is still good compared to its $12 million budget.
Yeah, it's really good, considering really for a movie to be profitable, it needs, what, make about four times
three to
what
four.
It costs.
It depends.
I think it will drop hard its second week.
Yeah, because it's going to have to deal with
Project X.
Project X.
And everyone going out to see The Artist this weekend after the Oscars.
If only the Navy SEALs had shown up and just shot everybody in that goddamn
party. Because the police in the movie back off because the party crowd.
There's a guy with a fucking flamethrower and they're like, they're shooting rubber bullets at him. I'm like, seriously? If that were a real thing happening, they would just skip the rubber bullets and shoot the guy with the
They would have called up Riggs and Murtaugh. They dealt with that situation already.
That's right.
They took care of that.
Cluck like a chicken.
Yeah. We'll... Hearts on his underpants.
Yeah, but Act of Valor did really good. Tyler Perry's Good Deed performed on the low end with $15.5 million, which is to be expected considering there was no Madea in the movie. This is what's sad, is Wanderlust and Gone.
There's nothing really sad about either of those two statements, especially Gone.
These two movies, their combined box office for the weekend just barely beat Ghost Rider in its second weekend. That is how poorly Wanderlust and Gone did.
Now, honestly, Ghost Rider is a terrible movie, I did lean over to Kevin and suggest that we leave Project X and go see Ghost Rider 2.
I was almost going to tell you. The only reason was I didn't have my 3D glasses.
And we probably could have picked those out of the bin.
Of course, it probably would have been less nauseating to watch that than the handicap footage.
It almost is.
Yeah.
Because it... Yeah. We're done with Project X. I need to
stop
bringing
talking
it up.
About it. I don't want to talk about it forever. I'm wasting my life considering it. Let's talk about, what do you think is going to win? Is it going to be Project X or is it going to be The Lorax? What do you think?
I would probably say Lorax. I'd say 95% chance that Lorax will beat that.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, The Lorax has got to be at least good for $25-30 million. I don't think Project X is.
Because it really doesn't have too much as far as kid competition right now. Mm. Project X is rated R.
The closest and it has in terms of kid competition would be Journey 2, but that's been out for
three or four weeks now, right?
It'll be 4 weeks by the time it's out.
And Project X's audience is like 14-year-old boys who can't see the movie, so...
Yeah, I think it's going to struggle with people who are too young to see the movie, who can't get in. But here's the thing. I really don't see college students and high school students that are old enough to see the movie paying to see this movie. I think
they'll pirate this movie.
They'll pirate the shit out of this movie.
Or they're just going to go, I can whack off to something much easier than this.
I don't think it's going to do well. It's getting good responses from the idiot audiences that are watching it. But yeah, I don't think it's going to do. So yeah, I think it's going to be... I think what you're going to see is you're going to see The Lorax, maybe Act of Valor, or maybe Project X.
Now, are you expecting Gone to really pick up in its second week?
I would love
by word of mouth.
I would love it because Gone was, and I even said this on my Rotten Tomatoes quote. I'm like, Gone was either absolute garbage or a work of sheer genius. There's no middle ground. I couldn't tell.
I eagerly await that movie to move to cable here in a couple years and be the highest rated Lifetime movie ever shown.
It is like Roadhouse. For cable.
It's Roadhouse for Women, yeah. It's everything that you didn't get in Kiss the Girls and Jennifer 8 and Silence of the Lambs put into a nice Lifetime movie
Let's not lump Silence of the Lambs in there.
It did have the hole in the ground.
It did.
With a psychopath that's putting women in the ground. So
You kept expecting him to be like, "Do you put the lotion on his skin?"
Precious! Don't hurt my dog!
You gave me my fucking dog!
Now, we didn't really... Wes Bentley could have done, like, a really interesting penis tuck thing in that.
Oh, okay. I'm suddenly just picturing Wes Bentley and penises and...
That's my whole intention. You just imagined that in your mind.
I imagined
it. Enjoy that.
I imagined a lot darker pubic hair, unless he's wearing a
merkin. Especially the considering how pale he is.
Yeah.
Because everyone in Portland, Oregon is incredibly pale, has rapey eyes.
Well, that's actually true.
And we just lost the entire Portland audience. Of people
I got
on
friends
the internet.
In Portland. They'll probably agree with me on that one.
Yeah, everyone there is creepy and wants to rape you and put you in a hole.
Rapey eyes. Let's move on. Oscar reaction. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about the Oscars because they spent enough time talking about it weeks before. I was so done with the Oscars. I'm just like, I don't want even to.
I haven't watched the Oscars in 15 years.
I didn't actually watch it. Because you know what? Here's the thing. If the biggest news that comes out of the Oscars is that Angelina Jolie showed her legs, fuck that noise. Because she was freaking naked in Gia. Why is it so amazing to see her leg and Jennifer Lopez's nipple?
And it's so pale.
Yeah. And
it was like looking at a ghost.
She is a scary woman. I don't think she's alive.
Yeah, and just everything I see her in, just I've never found her really attractive, you know.
I can't imagine.
I enjoyed like. The side boob in Hackers years and years and years ago. Yeah. And,
yeah.
You know, I've watched.
Or a complete total boobs, watched, bush, and butt in Gia.
Yeah,
Have you seen Gia?
I've watched like 8 minutes of Gia.
That's the same eight minutes
over and over again. Mm-hmm. For several years on HBO.
You've got stamina. I can barely, she's not even back in the apartment by the time I'm done and taking a nap.
You know, I'm going to put my hand on this chain link fence and get naked. And then it's like, oh, there's another part of this movie about a model. God, stop making that face fucking again. Face. God. Imagine Wes Bentley again.
I would love to see Wes Bentley do the tuck in with a Merkin. Shaved the way his beard looks in Hunger Games trailer.
And plus with a little, like a 1999 video camera talking about a paper sack. Or a plastic sack.
A paper
and
bag.
And how everything is beautiful in the world.
We're not talking about a plastic sack at this point. We're talking about some other sack.
We're talking about a testicle sack.
His balls just kind of floating there. It's like, it's the most beautiful thing. Yeah. I videotaped it. It's the most beautiful 17 thing. Hours.
So awful.
It was really sweaty.
And Chris,
sweaty balls. Oh my
Chris
God.
Cooper beating him afterwards.
Let's talk, I just have to make this mention of this one. Or have you ever heard of the organization, the Million Moms, 1 Million Moms? Have you heard of this?
I try and pay very little attention to online mother organizations.
What it is it's an organization which is nowhere near a million. It just isn't, but it's, a very, let's just say, prudish organization that is constantly demanding things from advertisers and that sort of thing. They were all up in arms because the new ABC show, GCB, which stands for Good Christian Bitches, I think.
Hmm.
Or something like that.
And why were these women out of the kitchen when they were making these?
Well, but
these demands.
They made a big stink about it because that's what the book that's based on is called. And then they were going to call the show that, and then ABC calls it GCB instead. And that makes sense because you can't. And it's nothing to do with this organization. It has to do with the fact that you can't advertise a show called with the word bitches in the title before like 10 o'clock on their own network. So. But they became really famous because what they did is they demanded, was it JCPenney's who
was mad at Ellen?
Ellen is involved. I forget, Ellen like is a spokesperson or whatever she
does.
Yeah,
and of course, you know.
And they're because she's a lesbian. Those, oh, Jesus, God, no, we can't have that.
And this is relevant now 15 years or so after she came out because people still really care.
Apparently that issue of Time Magazine that says, yep, I'm gay, got to their door like finally, got lost in the mail or something.
Those women are going to turn her straight again. They are going to get there.
They're going to work on it.
She's, you know, they're biding their time. She's turning straight again.
That's true.
Jesus Christ.
So they had, you know what? What were we talking about before?
The Good Christian Bitches and the million women that should be in the kitchen.
But something you said, hold on a second. I got to look this up. Because
something
there's one of their 1 million moms. One of their issues is, oh, that's what I said, sweaty balls. Apparently, Ben and Jerry's has made an ice cream flavor called sweaty balls.
And I think Alec Baldwin was actually going to be the spokesperson for
yeah.
it because he made that famous on SNL, didn't he?
And they're like freaking out about this because and they're like demanding. I don't know. They're just basically telling people to write Ben and Jerry's to complain about the fact that they have an ice cream flavor called Sweaty Balls.
And what are they hoping to accomplish? Because I think Ben and Jerry are going to take those letters
and shove them right up their ass.
Oh, actually, I think they're probably going to roll, like, roll joints with them and then smoke them and eat more Sweaty Balls.
That's probably true.
Possibly each other's Sweaty Balls. I don't even know.
I'm pretty sure.
Are both of them still alive?
I don't know. I remember they were sort of, like, lampooned in City Slickers, and that was, like, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I don't even, like...
I don't even know if those Sweaty Balls are still sweating at this point.
I don't even know they're still breathing, to tell you the truth. It doesn't really matter. I'll still eat their ice cream occasionally.
Yeah, this is something day. That just, you know, 1 million moms is, they're fucking morons. I'm sorry. If you're going to complain to Ben and Jerry's because they named an ice cream, it's not like they're marketing. It's not like they got an ice cream truck and they're pulling up in front of a grade school going, ding, 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 my Sweaty Balls. You know, I mean.
Well, and the other thing is just.
They should get Ellen. You know what they should do? They should have an ad where Ellen goes, I love eating these Sweaty Balls. It would confuse the fuck out of these people. They wouldn't know what the hell that meant.
Especially if it was like a chocolate ice cream, like these black Sweaty Balls.
Oh, God. Jesus.
And it's just like, not only is Ellen a lesbian that's now straight, but now she's doing interracial, and then it's just an entire...
That just offends them all.
Yeah. And of course, you know, they don't think the best way to discourage people or Ben and Jerry's from selling this ice cream would just be not to buy it.
Yeah.
Sort of like anyone that protests whatever's on TV and wanting to police someone else's kids.
Well, and the thing is,
because,
like,
they can't use that V chip that's been in every TV for what, 20 years now, that protects their children.
Well, and here's the thing, 1 million moms, they're not going to watch Good Christian Bitches anyways. So what the hell do they care?
Because they're protecting us from ourselves, Kevin. They are protecting us from ourselves.
They're protecting us from their Sweaty Balls. Let's move on. Speaking of Sweaty Balls.
And you were not kidding about not talking about the Oscars much, because we literally talked about, I don't even know if we talked about one movie before.
We've talked about exploded vaginas and Sweaty Balls and
I would like to talk about the Oscars real fast. I was happy Christopher Plummer got, you know, an Oscar. Mm. I've been a big fan of Christopher Plummer since I saw him in Star Trek VI. You know, Star Trek introduced me to this.
The hell with that Sound of Music garbage that he did in the 60s.
Okay, well, let's see. I was born in 82, so...
It's on every year at Christmas time.
Yeah, and my parents tried to get me to watch it every year, and I promptly rolled my eyes and went and watched something that I'd more about watching Star Trek VI, and, you know, Christopher Plummer was in that, and now I think he got the Oscar he deserved.
Got the Oscar he deserved for the gay Klingon role, right?
He
was gay in the Beginners. Well, Klingon wasn't gay.
Okay, I was like, read something into that. I never saw in Star Trek.
No, he played.
Thank you for ruining the joke.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for ruining the joke.
I'm sorry.
You made your great Klingon joke. I was saying you read way more into his portrayal of Chang than
somehow,
I did.
Like, the most racist Klingon that ever walked the planet.
Chang, where is my automobile?
I love the fact that his name was Chang in the movie. It's like we're gonna call him Yamaguchi. What?
Why didn't they get Mako to play the role or something?
Yeah, it's like Worf's name was Worf. It wasn't Yen or something.
Maybe it had nothing to do with Chang. Like,
maybe it was, yeah.
Maybe it was just a name they came up with. Maybe it didn't have like any Oriental.
Maybe Chang means sweaty balls in Klingon.
My God, are you having like a jonesing right now for ice cream? Yes. You don't need to turn every topic back to it.
Yes, I do. It's going to happen.
Well, let's talk about pumped up vaginas again, then, if we're going to do this.
Makes me think of cherry on top of my ice cream. Anyways, Oscar reaction. Do you care about the Oscars? You seen like one Best Picture nominee.
Yeah, I really didn't. And I saw more movies this year than I probably saw in the last 3 years combined. And I saw Hugo and War Horse.
Yeah.
Because I thought there were 10 nominations, but you just told me there were 9.
They could do up to 10.
Which I think is stupid. They should just go back to 5
they should have just done. Yeah.
But then they only do 2 best song.
Did you see The Descendants?
No, I didn't.
You did see Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
I was not invited to that. If you'd like me to see your movies, invite me to more press screenings.
Okay, The Help.
I didn't have enough guilt to see that.
Okay, you saw Hugo. Did you see Midnight in Paris?
I can't really stand Woody Allen, sorry.
So no. Moneyball?
I somehow missed that twice.
Okay. The Tree of Life?
I Nope.
Okay, and War Horse. So you've seen Hugo and War Horse.
Yep.
Neither of them won the Best Picture.
No.
It was The Artist. I thought The Help was going to win, because I thought that there was a little bit of a backlash against The Artist. And it was, because Hugo won all these technical awards, and The Artist actually won relatively few awards compared to what it was nominated for.
And I actually feel like Hugo won a couple mostly out of...
Oh, they both won them out of Hollywood narcissism.
Because I'm going to... The visual effects, I still think Rise of the Planet of the Apes got completely robbed.
Well...
You know, I'm really sorry. Hugo was a beautiful picture. I can't say enough nice things about how good it looked.
Yeah.
But I'm really sorry. Fuck the Academy. That movie, that movie did deserve more recognition than it got.
Well, you know, I think
and was groundbreaking.
I think part of the thing with the special effects, I know a lot of people were pissed off, but that either Transformers or Apes didn't win. One of the things I know is especially in the 90s, once computer technology really started to show up, a lot of these awards, especially for the special effect awards, especially those in the industry who actually do the visual effects, start voting for stuff that you don't recognize as an effect.
Yeah, the subtlety.
Yeah.
Factor.
And so, I mean, you when there's robots in you knew there were robots. You know, it's a
nothing subtle effect. About Transformers.
Yeah. You're not like, how'd they do that? Well, it was a computer.
Well, actually, I'll lead it to my next point in just a second. But yeah, the subtlety in Hugo.
I think because like when they were taking it into the workings of the clocks and all that kind of stuff. That's I think and the automaton thing. That's I think where it was getting the effects.
But to counter that, the fact that they took Planet of the Apes, a franchise that has been sort of well known for rubber masks, and you know, as the series progressed, got sort of even more cheap looking, I feel like, as they went.
Oh, it did, yeah.
And right. I'm trying not to offend people that might like Planet of the Apes. I'll offend everyone else.
I
but
think even people
I don't
who
wanna...
like the old Planet of the Apes movies recognize that they were monkey masks.
And then we had the Tim Burton abortion, and then this, and then it's like, I almost completely forgot about the rubber mask. I forgot about everything, everything about the franchise, but I was enveloped in that in those special effects to the point where, yeah, I almost forgot that it was a guy in a green suit that they put a.
Yeah, well, you know, this is not me defending it, but I think this is the reason behind it, and the same reason why Transformers didn't win, because every time you saw a Transformer, you know, it was a computer effect. Mm-hmm. So there was no real trickery going on, because you knew that shit wasn't real from the beginning. The same thing now when it came to Planet of the Apes, I think they hit that realism with a lot of the apes, like especially the orangutan, which apparently never existed, yet they did a great job with them. I think the reason those probably didn't get votes is because there were key times where it breaks down in the Uncanny Valley with Caesar's face. And I would imagine that that's probably where some of these, some of the votes, where it didn't get votes, because people would be like, well, as awesome as it was this like 5% of the time it didn't work.
Well, and I was also sort of banking on that one winning, because I thought Andy got sort of screwed for not getting a nomination. I thought, well, if you're not even going to nominate the actor for the great portrayal that the computer effects helped, they'll give him the Oscar for the effects.
Yeah.
And then I feel like that's sort of two slaps in the face.
Yeah.
For a movie that was one of the better movies all summer.
Yeah. Two virtual slaps in the face.
My other issue with Hugo was winning the best sound editing over Transformers. And I'm going to, you know, out myself as being a Transformers fan. I'm sorry.
Shame on you.
Yeah. Like I said, kid of the 80s, I'm willing to deal with the backlash of it. You know, the movies are sort of crappy. I still like them for what they are. But Transformers was one of the best sounding movies I've ever heard in a theater. I saw it several times in several different venues. And Hugo sounded great. Nothing blew me away the way I felt when I saw Transformers.
Sure.
And once again, maybe there was more subtlety in Hugo.
Pretty sure there was a little bit more.
I don't even know if maybe should be mentioned.
Was there anything in Transformers that was subtle? There was nothing. I mean, like, hey, guess what? She's got tits right here.
She's got legs, and we're going to have her get out of this car. Whoosh.
Oh, well. Do you have anything else to say? I actually thought what's funny is I wrote a piece for Film School Rejects about actor and actress, and we got an email from Neil Miller. The writers got an email from Neil, who of course is affiliated with the show, and he is the editor of Film School. He's like, we got 12 out of 12 in the category, or 11 out of 12 in the categories, and I'm like, should have gone with a fucking French guy instead of George Clooney, because it was me who blew the perfect. I completely blew the perfect record for the SSR picks.
I just didn't think. I just don't think George is. I don't know.
I think they just wanted to give it to George. But you know, Cole Abias from Film School Regis, he made a point to me. He made a point when he posted this article on the FSR Film School the FSR Facebook page. He goes, "Well, is it going to go to George Clooney or the French George Clooney?" And I think that's kind of what it was. Dujardin did a good job in the role, but I just thought that they were going to give it to Clooney. But oh well.
I think every couple of years they sort of say, "Well, we've given it to an American actor, and we're going to switch it up and give it to the foreign actor." And they did that in 2007, and I think probably in 4 or 5 years. Was it 2000?
What, for No Country?
Yeah.
Well, he was best supporting. It's a lot easier to win best supporting if you're a new actor. That's the other thing, is because best actor generally, I mean, that's why even though Bashir did a really good job in his role in A Better Life, Damien Bashir, he wasn't even stand a ghost of a chance of winning because A, nobody saw the film. B, even though he's been in the movies before but he's from Mexico, and this is kind of his first real high profile role. And even then it wasn't a high profile role. It's just he got nominated and people were like, what the hell
now,
is the movie?
No, honestly, I'm really surprised you're able to handle like this week after the Oscars after Jonah Hill didn't win.
That was seriously, if you wanted to give the biggest what the fuck award, it would have been like Jonah Hill wins for Moneyball.
People that would have replaced what's her name for My Cousin Vinny. It's like, did they read the wrong name? Yeah. Well, that would have been great.
Well, you know what happened is I think Christopher Plummer would have walked over and punched the fuck out.
I've waited 80 some years and you gave it to Jonah
and the
Super Bad Hill.
The kid from Super Bad who got period blood on his pants wins instead of me. Yeah, no, that's not gonna happen.
They probably would have given it to Jonah Hill for Super Bad, like out of guilt for not nominating him for that.
Yeah. Oh. True. Anything else you gotta say about the Oscars?
I'm still pissed off about Titanic winning.
Well, okay. You can be pissed off about that.
Should have been LA Confidential.
Oh, okay.
Or any of the other nominees.
Let's move on. You know what? I'm actually going to hold Thomas from Seattle's question until the Idiot Boxer, since it's much more in line with television and specifically asking about television. I think it actually works. So listen to the Idiot Boxers on Monday when it goes live, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah, the question, I've read the question, and I literally don't really have any opinion on it whatsoever.
Your answer I don't know.
I don't watch much TV because I don't like much of what's on.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. Let's move on to the Fat Guy 5, and this is because I can't do anything that makes me think more about Project X. So this is about Dr. Seuss, and these are your five favorite Dr. Seuss books, which you don't give a crap about because you have no heart.
I didn't say I go piss on Dr. Seuss's grave.
Well, who hasn't?
I don't, you have several, kids running around. And
one piss, two piss, red fish piss, blue piss. Wait, what are you doing?
I was trying to think if that was because I was trying to think of Dr. Seuss books because I didn't Wikipedia Dr. Seuss before we came to the studio in the sky. And I was trying to think of like other Dr. Seuss books. And I'm like, is this like a Dr. Seuss book or was it something else completely different?
No, he
and I think now from your one piss, two piss, red three piss, blue piss. Yeah, I think I have confirmed that one of the books I was thinking of actually was a Dr. Seuss book.
Okay. Well, these are my top five, or in no particular order. Let's get the big ones out of the way. The Cat in the Hat, probably the most famous one he's ever done. That became the Cat in the Hat became the symbol for Dr. Seuss. Not Doctor Who. Very different. That would be a great crossover, though, wouldn't
different,
it?
Different. Well, I know that they're doing like a Star Trek The Next Generation Doctor Who crossover comic, so maybe that will be the next.
Doctor Who runs into the Cat in the Hat and the Grinch.
Yeah, and, there has to be a new Grinch or a new Cat in a Hat.
And the Cybermen come and tear up, rip the flesh from the Grinch's body and make his brain into a cyber Grinch.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Fanboy wet dream, I guess, for you.
The Cat in the Hat and How the Grinch Stole Christmas, those are my first two. Because those are just such classic, and they were great TV cartoons, and they're both terrible movies. but yeah, just both classic, wonderful Dr. Seuss books. If you haven't read them, go read them, because they're good. You don't just watch the shows. Then there's the next one is Oh, the Places You'll Go, which is his last book he ever wrote. And he wrote it in, I believe, 1989. And it's the first book that he ever wrote really for grown-ups. It's not like an adult book. I mean, it doesn't have like finger banging going on in it or anything.
I think that's the first time Dr. Seuss and finger banging have ever been uttered in the same. Well, they do have that Dr. Seuss dildo, so I guess that might have thrown together.
I'm sure in the hallowed halls of Theodore Giesel's bedroom with his wife, there might have been some finger banging going on. With a Cat in the Hat.
One finger?
Or two finger. One finger, two finger, fist finger. So yeah, Oh, the Places You Go is a neat little book about, you know, what you've reached a milestone and what comes up next. It's given a lot of graduation. I actually got a copy when I graduated high school. I think I got one when I graduated high school and college. I think I read somewhere it sells like 300,000 copies a year just because everyone buys it for graduation gifts. So that's a good book.
And since I've never graduated from anything, unfortunately, I have not received this wonderful book.
Your loss.
And I don't even know if I've heard of it until this moment.
I'm sure you've heard of Green Eggs and Ham. That's the next one on the list. Have you
heard of it? I've lived that.
I will not eat green eggs and ham. I do not like them. Sam, I am.
I sort of lived the opposite, I guess.
But you do eat. You love green eggs and ham.
I love any type of ham.
Any type, even if it's green. I've always wondered why is it green? That's the best part is that this unnamed character who is refusing to eat the green eggs and ham offered to him by Sam I Am. He never questions why they're green.
Really, we're in the Dr. Seuss universe. I don't know what much makes sense. There's a cat in a hat that magically appears and a Grinch that's heart grows three sizes, that's you true. Know, and
you know, for Doctor Who,
it has this poor dog that I feel like is probably not very well taken care of.
The dog's neglected in that book, I think.
Yeah, I always feel more sorry for him than anyone else.
Yeah. I made green eggs and ham once for Dr. Seuss's birthday.
That you celebrated. Disturbs me.
It just happened. I read about it on the internet, and it's like coming up. It's like Friday because it's when the Lorax. That's one thing. It would have been his 100th birthday. The Lorax is kind of pushing that as a publicity point.
Okay, that's cool. I understand you read I read about like Steak and BJ Day. You read about
Steak and BJ. What, you get a steak and a blowjob?
Yeah, I think it's like March 14th.
What? How come I've never heard of this?
And considering the amount of time you spend on the internet, you know, just sort of mark it on the calendar in a way that your kids won't know, because that's awkward.
What, if I write blowjob, they'll be like, I don't know what that is. My kids don't know what a blowjob is, I hope.
Hopefully.
It's like, they're like, oh, no, the guy down the road showed me.
The guy in the candy van.
Yeah. The guy offering sweaty balls from his ice cream van.
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin's there going, Alec Baldwin sweaty balls.
Yeah.
I will check that out, because
I'm checking it out right now.
Do they have specials like at Steak and Shake? Can you get like a steak and blowjob at Steak
and Shake? I've seen pictures though, like, you know, the cases at grocery stores where they've made like some allusion to like there being a special reason to buy a steak. Yeah.
Not the grocery store I go to.
No.
Of course, I never go to the butcher.
Yeah, they're not like just in like the pre.
They're not in the blowjob aisle.
They're not in the,
because that would be way too obvious.
It's not like in the prepackaged steak section with like the sticker that says like perfect steak for a BJ, you know, where it says like you
perfect for marinating. Wait, no, these are for marinating. Wait, I want the one that's good for a blowjob.
This goes with goes good with red wine. This one goes great with blowjobs.
Which would be a white wine type thing, I guess.
I don't drink wine.
Anyways, let's...
Strangely enough, I don't drink really at all. So yeah,
you're missing out. The next one is one of his first books, and that's The 500 Hats of Bartholomew Cubbins. And it's a neat little book. It's actually one of the more graphically, not graphically in the sense of bad, but it's not as cartoony. illustrated. It's more of like a little more comic book-y rather than cartoonish. About a guy who every time he takes off his hat, he has a hat underneath, and he gets in trouble because he doesn't.
God, I don't really remember that one either.
It's like from like 1950 something, or like 1612 or something like that. I don't know. It was made a long time ago.
Yeah, I was trying to think of that story about the kid that has like the tree that keeps cutting down the fucking tree, and the tree keeps like the giving tree. I was trying to think.
That's Shel Silverstein.
Yeah, I was like, I think I stole that from a library.
No, the library just gave it to you.
I think
it was the giving tree.
I think Gehanna Jefferson Library is still probably missing a copy of that book. And I think I still have it someplace.
Good to know.
Thank you.
Finally, the honorable mention is, in fact, One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish. It's a picture book that teaches kids to read. It's a great little book. It's essential preschool Dr. Seuss, so... Those are the ones to pick up. We got to go to a break. And please, God.
How long has the segment been?
Eight, six, 7 hours. I don't know. We got to go to a break. When we get back, we're going to do DVDs. And welcome back to Fat Guys in the Movies. We are now in the final segment. We talked of course, we reviewed The Lorax and Project X. If you were listening on the radio and you missed the actual rating for Project X, it sucked. Both of us agree. We are in agreement on this. We talked a bunch of crazy stuff. We went completely blue in the middle segment, which is nice because we haven't done that in a while. And we talked about the Oscars. We talked about box office. We talked about Dr. Seuss. Talked about other things I can't remind you about.
Yeah, and if there's anything I can be counted on, it's, you know, going off the rails and being blue.
Yeah, very much so. But now what do we got coming up here?
The world famous DVD roundup.
You were very nervous about doing that.
Cause yeah, I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget the words.
It's a big deal. I have every guest do that, and I've been doing it. I've been doing that Lucasfilm level sound effect for about the last 230 shows.
Have you gotten a cease and desist yet?
Or? Not yet. But what's funny is
now that he knows.
I don't. Yeah, I know. Oops, did I reveal it?
The George Lucas has now become self-aware of you mentioning
the,
it.
The master control program has suddenly like locked onto George Lucas. Oh, Kevin.
Someone said it. Whip noise, Lucas.
Well, what's funny is I always say I'm going to stop doing it, and I won't do it 1 week, and then see if anyone responds. But I don't want to because I just know nobody's going to care. So,
and it will kill you on the
inside. I'll cry. Anyways, DVD roundup. Was there something you wanted to highlight first?
Not really. This weekend, this is sort of a shit.
Oh my gosh, you had to say it. We'll bleep it out. That's okay.
Shoot. A shooty that's weekend.
That's okay. Oh, now you score again. Oh, I have it completely off the rails.
And if this will be the last appearance of Nick Harum on Fat Guys at the Movies.
All right, so what is the sooty weekend that we have for DVDs? Do you have any DVDs or Blu-rays you want to kind of highlight?
No, not really. There's just the ones that you're going to mention here in a minute, I assume.
Well, just Hugo, obviously, is out.
Yeah, which is there's the regular Blu-ray.
The Blu-ray,
and then there's
Blu-ray.
Also a 3D,
and there's like a Blu-ray movie only disc. There's like 17 versions.
I always thought there was the two this week. I thought there was just the 2D Blu-ray and the limited edition 3D. I don't think there was a.
Well, there's a DVD too, but yeah, maybe the DVD is just the trimmed down version.
Yeah, that one makes more sense to me.
Definitely worth checking out. It's a beautiful film, one of the best of 2011. There's also Johnny English Reborn, which I liked a lot more when I watched it again on video than when I saw it in the theaters.
And I have not seen either of them.
It's very British. I mean, they're
and I like very British things. I don't know why I haven't seen it.
Okay.
I just, and even the first one also comes out on
Blu-ray
this week as well. It's been on DVD for almost a decade now.
Yeah.
The first one also comes out on Blu-ray. And it's got that Natalie Imbruglia is in that, isn't it?
In the first one, yeah. This one
is super hot.
She is super hot. And this one has Rosamund Pike, who was ironically in Die Another Day, the James Bond movie that came out the year before Johnny English Number One came out.
Yeah, and you'll see her later, at the end of March in Wrath of the Titans.
Wrath of the Titans, she was in The Big Year that nobody saw. So yeah, she's in that. She's okay. She's like, I kind of blow hot and cold. Sometimes I think she's very attractive, and sometimes I'm like, nah.
I think she's sort of forgettable, honestly.
She's kind of like Julia Stiles. She sort of has that like husky voice and just kind of like that bland face.
God, I couldn't remember the last time I even thought of Julia Stiles. Okay. Like the Bourne Ultimatum. So yeah, how long was that? Five.
The Bourne movies.
Yeah, I haven't seen her in anything.
Yeah. So that's out. Those are worth checking out. And then this movie called Insight, which isn't a great movie, but it's a nice little like sort of Saturday morning rental, Saturday afternoon or evening rental. It's stars Natalie Z, who I believe she was in some soap opera. She was in Dirty Sexy Money. It's a sort of a twisted thriller about a twisted identity issue thing. So that's interesting to watch. The stinker of the week is I Melt With You, which is just a terrible, terrible, terrible film. That's sort of like a grown-up version of Project X. Where these guys get together years after they graduate and just drink themselves and drug themselves up into a stupor until somebody gets killed. And then it's sort of like Very Bad Things, only, which is also a terrible, terrible movie, but not as good as Very Bad Things.
But going back and watching Very Bad Things years later is sort of amusing because there's a lot of talent there that, you know...
What, like Kobe Tai?
Yes.
The adult film actress who gets killed and the character gets killed?
Oh, like
Jeremy Piven. Jeremy Piven is also one I'm out with.
Yeah, him. And comes full now circle. I'm drawing a blank on his name.
James Spader, isn't James Spader in it?
No.
Oh no, director, Andrew McCarthy.
No, he's not in that.
Yeah.
He's, oh. Yeah.
Well, okay.
What's his name? Who directed Iron Man?
Oh, Jon Favreau.
Jon Favreau's in that. Mm. Christian Slater. what wasn't he?
John Henson was in it too, I think.
You know,
or am I thinking of Stag? I might be getting it mixed up with Stag, which is a very similar movie.
Yeah, Leland from Seven.
Oh, okay.
I can never pronounce his last name.
I don't know. I'm just humoring you at this point.
Yeah, thanks. I guess since he's not going to mention him, Justice League Doom also comes out as one of the DC animated.
Yeah, the animated films are actually the best superhero films you got out there.
Has the voice of Batman from Batman the Animated Series reprising the role, and
we got about 45 seconds.
And Runaway Jury, one of Gene Hackman's last movies that for whatever reason decided to release it this week.
No rhyme or reason at all. But well, here we go. We got the review wrap up. The Lorax got a Kinda Rocks and Project X got a total suck. Next week we have John Carter and Silent House and A Thousand Words, Dear God, with Eddie Murphy. But yeah, just check us out at fatguysinthemovies.com. We got about 20 seconds. Nick, tell us where you're from and where people can find you.
Well, I'm from right here in Columbus, Ohio, and you can find me at facebook.com/movieshateyou2, all spelled out, and at www.movieshateyou2.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. We will have you again if you get that potty mouth taken care of. So
yeah, it's never going to happen.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks.